So we're all in Melachim Beis, Parakhas, Pasuk Des Zayin. Mishnas Chamesh LeYoyrom Ben Achav Melech Yisrael V'Yoshafat Melech Yehuda Molach Yehoyrom Ben Yoshafat Melech Yehuda. Yeah, when Yoyrom Ben Achav was 5 years king, during his five years into his reign, Yoshafat and Yoyrom were kings together. They were supporting each other. So that's when Yehoyrom ben Yehoshaphat, right, basically the son of Yehoshaphat, became king over Yehuda. So for the first 5 years of Yoram's reign, Yehoshaphat was king of Yehuda. And then the son, Yehoyrom, very similar name, that, not to be confused, Yehoyrom and Yoram are two different people. Right, that's when Yehoyrom became king. Mm-hmm. The Malbim over here goes into a whole cheshbon of how exactly this adds up, but we're not going to get into it. So let's continue. Pesach Zayin, Ben Shleishim Mishtaim Shana Hoya B'Malchay. He was 32 years old when he became king. Ushmoyle Shanim Malach Yerushalayim. He was king in Yerushalayim for 8 years. Ve'elech b'derech Malach Yisrael, and he went in the typical path of Malach Yisrael. Kasher also beis Achav, ki bas Achav hoyseloy leisha ve'yas Rabbein Hashem. So he was the son-in-law of Achav, and he followed the footsteps of Achav, of his father-in-law. Right, just like Achav did a Rabbein Hashem. And he caused the Jewish people to worship idols, so too his son-in-law did the same thing. Now the problem was that Hashem couldn't take away the malucha, couldn't take away the kingship from Yerim, even though he was doing the wrong thing. He was going in the footsteps of Achav, because he made a promise to David that he will not take away the malchus, he will not take away the kingship. So what did he do instead? Instead of taking it away, he punishes them. Mm. He punishes them. Now we find that the fathers are not punished, but the sons... the fathers are punished, but the sons, not only are they punished, but the kingship is taken away from them. Because the promise that Hashem made to David and Malach is only that he will not take away the kingship from the first generation. But from the second generation, over there, the promise is off. All bets are off. So it's because it says in the Pasuk, Miyaz v'bonav teirasi, v'pakazati v'shevet, v'chasti le'afir. So for the first generation, it says that v'pakazati v'shevet, I will punish them. V'chasdi loy afir. I will not take away the malucha because I promised David. But for the sons, what does it say? Yimishmu b'necha brisi. Gam b'nei amad yad yishvu l'kesi lach. But by the sons, it says that if the sons, only if they keep my my covenant, then I'm going to keep them the kingship. But if not, I'm going to take it away. So that's what happened by Aviyom, the son of Rechavam. The Malucha was taken away from him. And Yehoyachaz ben Yehoyram, also the Malucha was taken away from him. But for Yoram himself, Hashem didn't take the Malucha away. How did Hashem punish Rechavam? The Malbim brings a few examples. Rechavam was punished by Shishak. Shishak was a king who came over and destroyed. He went to war with Rechavam. And Edom caused trouble for Yehoram. Because during the times of David, Edom was quiet, right? David fought them. It didn't cause any trouble because they were afraid of David. But once David passed away, that's when they fell. Oh, listen, David is gone. When the cat goes away, the mice come out to play. Mm-hmm. So when David was gone, that's when they went ahead and they caused trouble for Yehoram. Kelsi Viter, Pasuk Chaf, Beyam of Pasha Edom Mitachas Yad Yehuda, Veimlichu Aleim Melech. During his days, Edom, this is what we spoke about. That Edom caused trouble to Rechavam, and they brought their king. Veimlichu Aleim Melech. So now Yoram had to fight Edom. So let's see what happened in the next pasuk. V'yavar Yoram tzeira v'chol rechav imoy. Right, Yoram was still a young man. He had all of his army with him. V'hi ukam lael v'yakas edlam aslev v'elav. This sorry harechav v'yonah sa'am lo'yalav. So what exactly took place in this pasuk? It's not very clear. There are a few different pshatim as to what exactly happened. So the Radak explains that when Yoram was young, the army of Edom came and approached him, tried to wage war against Yoram, and they were camping at two camps, that the Yoram's camp, the Jewish camp, and the camp of Edom. They were camping in two different places, one facing each other. And typically, the way it worked was, you camp out, you set up your army, set up your defenses, and so on. Then the next day, at morning, you get up and you start the war. Right? That was traditionally the way it was done. But Yoram didn't wait till the next morning. Yoram got up in the middle of the night, together with his army, and he attacked Edom that night. And he abolished all the armies that were surrounding him. And when Edom realized that they're being defeated, they're being attacked, they got really scared, because this came out of nowhere. It was a complete surprise. It was an ambush. So the army of Edom ran away. That's what it says. Venasa am lo'ayalav. That's referring to the army of Edom, according to the Radak. And afterwards, the next pasuk says, "V'yivsha Edom mitachas yad Yehuda Edom hazeh." Meaning, what does that mean? What does it mean that Edom, which kept on fighting against Yehuda? So even though Yoram defeated the army of Edom, at that point, they still kept on causing trouble for the rest of the days. Now, the Malbim has a bit of a different shot, a bit of a different approach. He says that this is actually not referring to the bravery of Yoram, not referring to his wits and his ability to strategize. Rather, it's referring to Yoram's weakness. He was so weak and he was so scared that he didn't even have the guts to fight the army of Edom during the day. He was afraid. So what does he do? He only had the bravery. He was only brave enough to fight them at night. Right, he needed the disguise of darkness in order to fight them. But he would not be able to fight them during the day. So when it says in the pasuk, "Vayakes Edom Slave of Elov," what is that referring to? That's referring to only the armies that were right next to him. But only the armies that were right there by the camp, by the Jewish camp, that's the part of the army that he managed to fight. But the rest of the army, he didn't even manage to get to. He didn't manage to touch. So it was only the part of the army that was actually setting siege around Jerusalem, around Yerushalayim. And he did not finish the war. He didn't really go ahead and wipe out, or at least scare off the army of Edom. And that's what it says in the next pasuk, "Vayivsha Edom mitachas yad Yehuda Edom hazeh." That's what it says. What happened is that they kept on fighting up until tonight. Because, why? Because they realized that Yoram is weak, right? He only has the
guts to fight it.
He only has the guts to fight at night. He doesn't have the guts to fight during the day. He's not brave enough. Mm-hmm. So, not only did this battle wasn't defeated, right? He didn't defeat the army of Edom. Rather, it caused more trouble later on. Not only did Yoram not lose this, not only did he not win this battle, but he lost the whole entire war. because of this battle, because that set the tone for the rest of the back and forth between these two armies. That's the pshat according to the Malbim. So when it says Vayana Sa'am Loyalov, that's referring to, according to the Malbim, that's referring to the armies of Bnei Yisrael. Right? Meaning they just did a little battle, right, quickly to fight off the armies that were surrounding, you know, Yerushalayim. But they didn't defeat them, the whole entire army of Edom. And after they just wiped them off, then they quickly ran away back to their tents because they were too scared and they couldn't really do anything.
You got to fight to win.
Exactly. You got to fight to win, not to...
You know, it's to play... War is a thing you have to win. You can't, you know, just play around.
Right. Exactly. You got to fight to win.
Yeah.
This past week, we just went to Gettysburg, which was very interesting. General Lee, right? That was his strategy. General Lee, his strategy at the Battle of Gettysburg was he already defeated the Union Army many, many, many times. And he figured he just has to give them one last blow, and that's going to completely wipe them out. That was his strategy. So that was exactly the opposite of what Yoram did over here. He didn't, you know, give them one knockout, right? And that's what scared him for the rest of days. That's what David HaMelech did. David HaMelech was such a powerful warrior that when he went to war, all he had to do is go to war once against the nation, and that was it. After that, they were terrified. They would not dare fight him again.
I saw something that David HaMelech, when he went to fight Goliath, he wasn't a kid. He was like 26 years old.
Right. He was.
But you know, it seems when you're reading it, he's just a young little kid. I think it said he was 26.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. No, he was. Right, he wasn't like a little boy.
Yeah.
Right? You have to figure like it's a little boy with like,
that's
a
the way they.
Shot.
That's the way you know. Right. It's
26 as a kid.
In America of today, yeah. Then you're not an adult until you're like 45.
Yeah.
And then you graduate out of mommy's basement. So there's really two ways of fighting, right? There is a way of fighting like a lion. There's a way of fighting like a wolf. There are two different approaches in Am Yisrael. Binyamin is compared to what?
The wolf.
Compared to wolf. It says Binyamin Zev Yitrof. Binyamin was a wolf. Actually, there is actually a very interesting Rishon. According to Rabbeinu Ephraim, the first werewolf that ever existed was actually Binyamin. That's what the Rabbeinu Ephraim says. And he explains, it's a pretty wild shot, but he says that the reason why Yaakov Avinu was afraid to send Binyamin down to Mitzrayim, why was he so afraid? Oh no, if I send him down, he's going to die. Why is he going to die? What are you so afraid of? Were you just going paranoid? You lose one son 22 years ago, and now you're afraid that your other son is going to die just because of one trip. So the Rabbeinu Ephraim explains that because Binyamin was a werewolf, and the trip was going to take place when the moon was when there was going to be a full moon. Mm. What would happen was that Binyamin was going to turn into a wolf, and people would think that he's a wolf and he's endangering people, and so they would try to kill him. That's what Yaakov was afraid of, and that's why he did not want to send Binyamin down to Mitzrayim. Any case, that's what Binyamin is compared to a wolf. Yehuda, on the other hand, is compared to what?
A lion.
A lion, exactly. Gur Ariyeh Yehuda. It's compared to a lion. Now, what's the difference between the way the lion hunts and the way the wolf hunts?
Well, the lion uses its might, its power.
He doesn't care who he fights, the lion.
The wolf is using kind of its sneakiness to...
True.
The lion fights, the wolf just goes after the stragglers most of the time.
Finesse, yeah. That's a good word.
They're coming in slowly and meticulously, whereas the wolf will just come right in.
Right. Why? Because the wolf is not as powerful as the lion. The wolf, when he comes onto the scene, he quickly hunts his prey. And what does he do after he hunts his prey? He drags it back to his lair. Because he's afraid of bigger animals than him. they're going to steal the prey away from him. Mm-hmm. So he quickly drags it back to his lair and eats it over there. Mm-hmm. The lion, on the other hand, when he hunts, right, he comes in with finesse, right, he's not afraid of anybody. He comes into the middle of the field, he makes his kill, and he eats it right there and then. He does not wait a second. Why? Because the lion dominates. Right? No one's going to challenge him. Mm-hmm. No one will dare challenge the lion. So he comes, he makes his move, and he dominates. That's the two different approaches between Yehuda and Binyamin. And so the way David HaMelech fought was when he came as a lion. Right? He was a lion, he was going to come and he was going to dominate, no one was going to threaten him after that. But what's happening over here with Yoram, Yoram is fighting more like Binyamin. Binyamin comes, you know, he's a powerful warrior, right? A wolf is a pretty powerful predator. You don't want to mess with a wolf. You don't want to get stuck with a wolf in the middle of the woods. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Right? But, on the other hand, the wolf does not dominate. He quickly makes his kill, and then he runs back. Runs back to his house. Runs back to his lair. So that's the approach of what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. There's two different ways of fighting. It says also that before Mashiach comes, that's the way it's going to be. That first, the Jewish people are going to have that approach of Binyamin. Right? They're going to come, they're going to fight their enemies, but they're not going to be able to dominate their enemies. The enemies are going to still keep on coming at them. Because the wolf doesn't have the power to dominate. He doesn't have the power to scare off his enemies completely and ultimately. Only once Mashiach ben David comes, he's going to fight that one final war. And when after he fights that final war, no one will dare mess with the Jewish people. That'll be the end of it. Because once the lion comes on the scene, that's the end. He dominates. Mm-hmm. Those are the two different approaches between Yehuda and Binyamin. That's kind of what's happening over here. That's the difference between Yoram and the way David HaMelech fought. So that's why it says in Pasuk of Beis, Ve'ifshe Edom mitachas yad Yehuda ad hayom hazeh. Edom kept on causing trouble and fighting with Yehuda for the rest of days. As tifshe livna be'isei. okay, so let's continue. Let's finish till the end of the parak. The Yisra Divar Yoram Choser also Alayim Ksuvim Osever Divar Yamim Malchi Yehuda. What the rest of the words of Yoram and everything he did is mentioned on Divar Yamim. Veishkov Yoram Imavaisa Veikaver Imavaisa Veir David Veimlach Chazyahu Benoi Tachtof. Excuse me. After he passed away, Achazyahu's son became king after him. Again, the Mepharshim over here go through a lot of different calculation of where did these 12 years come from. Really, it's supposed to be, first of all, in Divrei Yomim it says that he was 42. Why does it say over here that he was 22? Mm-hmm. That's one thing. And that's one question. And the second question is, because the whole days of Yoram were 40 years, right? The days, the years that Yoram was, the Yoram reigned were 40 years. So how could it be that his son was 42 when he died? The numbers don't exactly add up. Mm-hmm. So the Mepharshim go through a whole long explanation of like how exactly they get to the number 22, but we're not going to really get into that. It's a little bit more complicated. Ben Esther Mishnaim Shana Achaziah B'Malchoy V'Shana Achas Melech B'Yerushalayim. He was 22 years when he became king, and he was king in Yerushalayim for 1 year. V'Shem Imoy Ataliyahu Bas Omri Melech Yisrael. His mother's name was Ataliyahu. She was the daughter of Omri. V'Yelech B'Derech Beis Achav V'Yasra B'Yini Hashem K'Beis Achav K'Choson Beis Achavu. He was the son-in-law of Achav, right? We saw before the son-in-law of Yehoshaphat. He was the son-in-law of Achav. And just like Achav did the wrong thing, and he caused the Jewish people to sin, so too Yoram did the same thing. Ve'elech es Yoram ben Achav ha-mechomim chazol melech Aram, b'ramos kilol, v'yako Aramim es Yoram. Now remember, Chazol is the same Chazol that met with Elisha, right, a few psukim ago. He was the one who ended up killing his master and becoming king. And he will see, we're going to see a little bit in the future, that he actually caused a lot of trouble to the Jewish people. And but again, this was the punishment for what they did, for what the kings made them do. The Yosef Yoram HaMelech Lisrava BeYisrael Minamakim Asher Yaku Aramim Baramim BeYilachim Chazal Melech Aram. Yoram went to war with Chazal. He got injured at war, and he went back to Israel to recover from his injuries. Ve'achaziyahu ben Yehoram melech Yehuda yorad lirois es Yehoram ben Achav Yisrael kicholo. Now Achaziyahu, the son of Yehoram, the king of Yehuda, came to visit Yehoram because he was very, very ill. Okay, we'll stop here, and next week we'll continue from Parak Tes. Have a good night, everybody.